Hello, my name is Ashwini Gupta. I belong to the Globalization team of Developer Division at Microsoft Corporation. Today's topic is Introduction to Building World-Ready Applications. This is the first of a series of talks that will teach you how to develop globalized applications. First, why invest in world-ready products? Well, there are many reasons. To start with, there's the revenue aspect of it. For example, a significant part of Microsoft's revenue comes from outside the US. Then you need to think about the distribution of applications and services on the internet. Even if you don't plan for a product to reach market X, it will likely get there. And the expectations from users is that their language and their feature set will simply work. So if you don't satisfy them, someone else will. There's also tremendous growth in emerging markets. So the nature of internet is such that development can be very participatory. Community members can simply create a localized version of a popular product. Eventually, it's very costly if companies do not invest in world readiness, because the time that it takes to re-engineer a product that was not world ready to start with is immense, and the work multiplies with the number of languages you intend to support. Let's start with a high-level view. Everything really fits under internationalization, but it can be split into three parts. There's world readiness, which is our focus, localization, and market customization. I'll briefly touch on localization and market customization. Localization is a process of adapting a software product to the linguistic, cultural, and technical requirements of a target market. With market customization, you tailor your product to a specific market or user group, enhancing their experience and increasing their satisfaction. It can vary in degree from customizing visuals of your applications to adding a new component to it to suit the particular market. World readiness, in turn, consists of globalization, which is about designing software for input, display, and output of a defined set of Unicode-supported language scripts. Localizability, which consists of designing software, code, and resources such that resources can be localized without any changes to the source code. And customizability, which is about designing software that is componentized and extensible to allow for replacement, addition, and or subtraction of features necessary for a given market. Let's begin with what international users need. You should support data input and output and the ability to deal with different characters. You should allow date, time, number, currency formatting correctly for different regions. And you should allow for appropriate customization where required. So the two broad goals are to develop globally and to empower locally. So world-ready software is really much more than just providing software in the user's language. It's about providing software that's fully adapted to the user's culture and region, providing support for language input, display, as well as support for local time formats and currencies. With this, we can arrive at the goals for world readiness. You should allow for universal text input and output so that your application allows input and output of text in any script supported by the system. It should be locale sensitive so that the application displays time, date, currency, numbers, sorted text, etc. as the user desires. Your application should allow the user to set the user interface language to the one desired by the user. And you should allow for solutions to be tailored to specific local markets. Let's start with globalization. Globalization is about designing software for input, display, and output of a defined set of Unicode-supported language scripts. Let's look at some issues with improperly globalized applications. What you see is a Japanese application written in DBCS. The application works just fine on a Japanese OS. However, on English OS, it has no idea what the double byte code points are. Although Windows 2000 and XP is a Unicode-based system, Microsoft had to include support for legacy code page applications. What happens at runtime is that the application says, I'm using code page 932, and it runs on Windows OS set to English, which for ANSI is 1252 code page. Thus, the conversion fails when it tries to convert code page 932 DBCS to UTF-16 for processing, and then to code page 1252 for output. It was essentially trying to understand the Japanese characters as US characters. A great QA tip is that whenever you see question marks, it's an indication of an encoding problem. And the immediate hint is that the application is not Unicode. Let's look at another example. Here the boxes are similar to the question mark for display of encoding issues. Font linking in Windows XP and beyond work as follows. If a font gets called for a glyph that it does not have, it will go through a list of other fonts that have the glyph. So it's a fallback mechanism that goes through a list of other fonts looking for glyphs. And what you see on screen is the effect of hard-coded fonts. The solution is always to use fonts that support font linking, and Tahoma is a good example. There could also be locale issues. For example, the date representation in different locales is different. In short date representation, the US English follows the MMDDYY. However, in Japanese, it's YYMMDD. The currency format is also different. The symbol used for the currency in different locales is different, and the format of representation of negative amounts also varies. Number representation formats also varies across different cultures. For example, the character used for thousands separation, the character used for decimal separation, and the format of representing negative numbers varies in different cultures. Let's move on to localizability. Localizability is really an intermediate process for verifying that a globalized application is ready for localization. Localizability's biggest role is really to help save localization costs. And one badly designed element can cost a company multiple times, because with every release of Windows, the number of languages grew until it reached 100 with Vista. So if you design and develop your application with localization in mind, localizability is merely a QA pass. Let's look at some examples of issues that you may encounter with localizability. You should always allow for text expansion. English is one of the most compact languages around. German, which is the second short below, is usually about 25% longer. However, the first screenshot, which is Finnish, is twice as long as English. In this screenshot, the problem is not of size. The developer also did not enable text wrapping over here. Moving on to another example. Because of the grammatical characteristics of languages, adjectives and nouns may be gender and or context dependent, and their ordering could be different than in English language. An alternative to the design that you see on the screen would be reset fail count to zero after how many days. You also want to avoid hidden or overlapped controls. Sometimes buttons are overlapped and switched depending on state, but this is not a good idea because translation of text into different languages can expand the size of the text and expose some of the UI elements that were considered hidden in English or native version of the product. Our last topic today is localization. Localization is the process of adapting a software product to the linguistic, cultural, and technical requirements of a target market. Let's look at some of the issues with relation to localizing images and icons. You should avoid text and graphics. Not only is it difficult and expensive to convert into different languages and cultures, but there's also a good way of just doing something like this. It's good to avoid gender and ethnic stereotypes, and it's good to avoid culture-specific examples. This, for example, is a common sign used for mailboxes in the US, but when adapted to the European markets, people were left wondering what a bread box on top of a pole was supposed to mean. And it's also good to avoid body parts and gestures. Thank you. I hope that I have sensitized you to the big issues to watch out for when you're developing applications meant for different markets. Do watch out for more upcoming talks in this series.